a conversation with Mark Barden of Sandy Hook Promise. Stay tuned.
Just to follow up, your expectations aside, your website says you will find people who don't give up their weapons. That doesn't take those weapons off the street. So to be clear, exactly how are you going to take away weapons from people who do not want to give them up and you don't know where they are?
If someone does not turn in an AR-15 or an AK-47, one of these weapons of war, or brings it out in public and brandishes it in an attempt to intimidate, as we saw when we were at Kent State recently, then that weapon will be taken from them. If they persist, there will be other consequences from law enforcement. But the expectation is that Americans will follow the law. I believe in this country. I believe in my fellow Americans. I believe that they will do the right thing.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor Buttigieg, just yesterday you referred to mandatory buybacks as confiscation and said that Congressman O'Rourke has been picking a fight to try to stay relevant. Your response on guns?
Well, Congressman, you just made it clear that you don't know how this is actually going to take.
That was a little bit of Mayor Buttigieg who,
if you can develop the plan further, I think we can have a debate about it, but we can't wait. People are dying in the streets right now. We can't wait for universal background checks that we finally have a shot to actually get through. We can't wait to ban the sale of new weapons and high-capacity magazines so we don't wind up with millions more of these things on the street. We can't wait for red flag laws that are going to disarm domestic abusers and prevent suicides, which are not being talked about nearly enough as a huge part of the gun violence epidemic in this country. We cannot wait for purity.
And that's a little bit of Pete Buttigieg. So that was Pete Buttigieg and Beto O'Rourke yesterday at an exchange during the Democratic debate for the candidacy for president. And joining us now is Mark Barden, who is a co-founder and managing director of Sandy Hook Promise, which is the leading gun violence prevention organization. He lost his son, Daniel, one of 20 first graders murdered at Sandy Hook Elementary School here in Newtown, along with six educators. And since that time, Mark and others have dedicated themselves to bringing people together to try and find sensible solutions to prevent future tragedies. And among other things, Sandy Hook Promise has gained a lot of attention recently for one of its PSAs, which is breathtaking in its effectiveness. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show, Mark Barden. Hi.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me on.
Good morning. I actually want to begin by letting our audience know a little bit about this PSA. I don't know the title. Does it have a title, the one that I'm talking about, where the kids are gathering their back-to-school essentials, but they're using them to prevent themselves, and then in the middle of that, they basically all the things that you and I would think of to go back to school, a backpack, a pencil, a ruler, they end up in the video having to use these things to defend themselves against a shooter. And it's chilling and it's effective. What's the name of the PSA, Mark?
Well, you actually said it, Lisa. It is back to school essentials. And to your point, we do highlight the stark contrast between what children should be embracing as their back to school essentials and what they have now had to be forced to embrace as back to school essentials, which includes having to prepare for an active shooter situation.
It's really one of the most remarkably effective videos I've ever seen. And the reason we don't play it on the air is because it's really not about the sound. You have to see it to have its full impact.
True. Yeah, it is a visual impact for sure. But the concept is, I think it's still there as far as that contrast between what children should be focusing and thinking about and what they're now being forced to think about.
So, Mark Barden, you, I'm sure, are paying very close attention to the various positions of candidates as they're emerging in this debate. And that's why I began with a little bit of the colloquy between Beto O'Rourke and Pete Buttigieg, because now all of a sudden, and I think it's relatively all of a sudden, there's a national conversation about taking away AK-47s from citizens. I don't think a year ago anybody would have believed that that would even be a national conversation.
Yeah, I think you're right, and that is absolutely the takeaway from this, is that this issue has become front of mind and not such a lightning rod issue as it was just a very short time ago. And I think that's the bigger takeaway, is the shift in the perspective on this as a public health issue that needs to be addressed. And it is fascinating to watch the candidates fall all over each other to try to outdo each other on stronger platform around gun violence prevention. And it is absolutely, they don't just it didn't just invent that overnight. You know, that's a result of research and polling and a deep understanding on what this country is asking for, which we have seen in the polls consistently. Over 90% of Americans have consistently polled that they want to see universal background checks for every firearm sale at the very minimum. So it is absolutely a sea change in the narrative, and it's about time. And it's good to see the candidates embracing that, and hopefully we'll get some real change.
One of the things, 203-333-9422, we're chatting with Mark Barden. You're welcome to be part of the conversation. One of the things that I like to stress on the radio, and this is just me as a citizen, is that I find personally the issue of gun violence to be completely nonpartisan. And I resent, frankly, partisan labels attached to it, because I think that the demand for a lessening of gun violence and effective policies to assure that are coming from all over the political spectrum.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that 100%, and we agree at Sandy Hook Promise with that 100%, Lisa. And protecting our children and making our community safer should not be partisan. It should be human interest, and that's why we approach this issue the way we do. We absolutely believe and support in legislative and political change around this, but the bigger issue and where we feel we can have the most impact is on the front end of it, before it ever even happens, is to train students how to identify potential at-risk behavior and get somebody connected to the help that they need.
So let's talk about that. You've got this Know the Signs program. Tell me about that.
We know from research that before somebody commits an act of violence or hurts themselves, we heard Mayor Pete reference the suicide epidemic, they talk about it first. People talk about it, and usually to more than one person. And imagine a world where we can have folks trained how to recognize those warning signs that people do give off before an act of violence occurs or an act of self-harm occurs. If people are trained and have the tools to get that person connected to whatever help or services they may need, the gun doesn't even come into the equation, because they're getting the help that they need before they want to commit an act of violence with a firearm or anything else. And so that is basically, that's what we do at Sandy Hook Promise, is we train students in schools at no cost how to recognize warning signs and take those next steps to connect somebody with a trusted adult who can help them.
So let's talk about that, because there are so many little things that have to happen before we actually prevent a tragedy. And obviously one of them is being sensitive to the signs. So tell me what some of the signs are.
So, you know, we have a whole list that's pulled from actual data and actual peer-reviewed research, but some of them you might recognize as consistent with what we have come to realize that are warning signs of somebody considering self-harm, like withdrawal or being bullied or bullying, change in friend group, sudden fascination with firearms. Not any one of these can be indicative of somebody on their way to violence, but taken together and monitored closely can be cause for a conversation or some other services or something else that might unfold or unpack somebody who might be dealing with a serious issue or an emerging mental health crisis that could be addressed before it becomes violent. And so we have seen tremendous success with this. We have a program called Start With Hello that addresses social isolation. Our Say Something program teaches kids those warning signs and how to take the next steps. We have an anonymous reporting system that they can use if they don't wish to talk to an adult directly about something that they have observed. And we're seeing incredible impact with this, Lisa. We are saving lives. We are empowering kids to stop school shootings, and that has happened. We are empowering kids to connect friends with help who are ideating on self-harm. So we've intervened on multiple suicides, and those numbers are growing as we continue to train more kids across the country.
In terms of data, we're chatting with Mark Barden of Sandy Hook Promise, 203-333-9422. You know, there was a wonderful book that came out a while ago called The Science of Fear, and it talked about the human brain it gave the example that actually in the 60s and the 70s, there was a greater incidence of kidnapping, abduction, and rape of strangers than there ever is now. But now we have a much more 24/7 media. And so when something happens, we all know about it. And so there is a greater fear of something happen, even though the relevant data suggests that the incidence of it happening are far less than it used to be. And I find all that fascinating about the human brain. So the reason I'm raising that is because I would like to know from you, since you're a studier of data, does it just seem like we have that many more troubled, disaffected, violent youths now? Does it just seem like it, or is it in fact so?
That's a good question, and I don't have that particular data, Lisa, to answer that question specifically. But all I know is that based on the work that we are doing, we are able to turn a lot of these events around and connect individuals with help before it becomes something more serious. And you're right, we do have the ability to know about everything now because everybody has a platform. And we are such a plugged-in society. I almost said informed, but I don't know if I can go that far. But we have access to information. We can say that. Yeah. With our Say Something program, we use that platform as a tool for good, where students who are on these social media sites that their parents are not and their teachers are not, they are seeing things that only they will see. And so they are privy to information that their peers are putting out there that they're the only ones that see it. So they're empowered. They're the eyes and the ears who are connecting with these individuals in a way that only they can. And so they have this power to connect that individual to a trusted adult who wouldn't otherwise know that they might be exhibiting warning signs of something more serious.
Mark Barden, are you Alex Jones, who fashions himself a broadcaster, but that's a very, very small B, has given voice to the ugliest of untruths and slanders about what happened in Newtown. And because of that, some parents have banded together to sue him for defamation. And that lawsuit is making its way up in the courts. Mark Barden, are you or a Sandy Hook Promise affiliated with that lawsuit?
I am personally, the Sandy Hook Promise organization is not
okay.
In any way, shape, or form.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Mark. How has the impact of untruths personally affected your life?
To be honest, I think at this point, we probably best serve your audience to speak more about the Sandy Hook Promise program and the issues that we all
have. You don't want to talk about it right now?
Yeah, I think we could probably have more impact talking about where we can make a positive difference right now.
Well, I think it's really important, Mark, with all due respect, that people get informed of the whole picture. I think many people you assume know some of the facts, but I think you'd be surprised how shocked many people would find to know that your story has been distorted and the story in general of Newtown has been denied by people. I think it's just horribly shocking.
It's absolutely tragedy on top of tragedy.
Yes,
Lisa,
it
where
is.
You, where you have this fringe of society who for whatever reason cannot or will not accept the horrors of the tragedy that happened not only to us here in Newtown, but in other communities across the country.
Right.
And then you add a level of despicable behavior on top of that when you have somebody who profits from spinning those lies, and that's unacceptable and should not be tolerated in what we like to think of as an advanced society.
We're chatting with Mark Barden of Sandy Hook Promise. How has personally your activism in this organization, how has it helped you get on with your life?
That's a great question, Lisa, and I feel there's sort of a multifold answer to that in that my 7-year-old son Daniel was wonderfully gifted with compassion for a 7-year-old boy. He looked out for his peers. He was always concerned about others, and I feel a very strong responsibility to carry that beautiful spirit forward, since he's not able to do it himself, and to help all those little friends out there that he used to do on his own. So I feel I'm able to do that through this work. And then on another level, I feel that you know, we are literally stopping school shootings. We are literally preventing suicides. We are able to prevent other families from having to live the pain that you know, this pain will be forever, the loss of any loved one, especially to something that's preventable. And I feel that the ability to do that is tremendously empowering, and it's a beautiful and appropriate way to honor my little Daniel.
Of course, it really is. I mean, yeah. I mean, and a lot of parents, it seems. I know we've had Dylan's Butterfly Foundation.
Dylan's Wings of Change.
Yes, Dylan's Wings of Change. Ian Hockley has been on the show a few times. And I just parent to parent, I just, you know, I'm very, very moved by being able to take such a senseless horror tragedy and, you know, and take this into a direction that is healing and helpful to other families.
Yeah, thank you. And I know, I know Ian personally, and I'm close with him and admire his work tremendously. Dylan's Wings of Change is a wonderful organization that's bringing a lot of good to a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And I have that same admiration to take something so horrible and turn it into something so beautiful and positive in honor of those loved ones, and to make a tangible difference and impact in a positive way in others' lives. I think it's a wonderful gift to be able to do that. Even my wife says to me, "I don't know how you get up and do this work every day." And I consider that question. I don't just blow it off. And I always come back to the same response, in that I don't know how I couldn't, knowing what I know, knowing that it's preventable, knowing that we have the ability to make this change, and with the wonderful folks that have dedicated themselves to this organization, and our wonderful legion of volunteers who are out there dedicating themselves to this organization. I could never walk away from that, knowing the good and the impact that we're having.
Yeah, because really what you're doing is you're reaching out to kids who really are crying for help. You're just listening to their cries for help before somebody else gets injured. That's really what this is.
That's exactly right. And sometimes it's not even that serious as a cry for help. Somebody, you know, it starts, if you can capture somebody who is socially isolated, who is left out of conversations, who is made to feel invisible, if you can capture that right there and turn that around, you can't imagine all the things down the road that could potentially lead to.
Yeah.
And so we can start offsetting this trajectory right at the outset, right at the very beginning, and in the process, building this more connected, more communicative environment and culture within the schools across the country.
So for people hearing this who might want to become involved with Sandy Hook Promise, what is your suggestion?
There are lots of opportunities to become involved with us in many ways. We are a nonprofit organization. We are in all 50 states. We are having a tremendous impact, and it's all thanks to all kinds of support from folks like your listeners, who can engage in many ways. We need volunteers. We need boots on the ground. We need bodies. We need advocates. We need voices. We need dollars. We need whatever way you can help us spread this word. We deliver life-saving neuroscience programs to schools across the country at no cost. And it takes a lot of investment and resources on our part to do that. So any help that any folks want to jump in and engage with us is greatly appreciated. And know that you are literally saving lives and building a more connected culture across this country. And we're sandyhookpromise.org. Send us a note. Tell us you want to engage in some way, and we can get you started and help you along the way.
Thank you, Mark Barden. Thanks for being on the show. You're welcome on any time.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. WICC 600, The Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.